Well, one day Adam was walking around the Garden of Eden feeling very lonely, causing God to ask, "What's wrong with you, Adam?" Adam replied that he didn't have anyone to talk to. So God announced that he was going to give him a companion, a woman. "A woman," Adam replied. Then God described her. "She will be someone to cook for you and wash your clothes. She will always agree with every decision you make. She will bear your children and never ask you to get up in the middle of the night to care for them. This woman will not nag you and will always be the first to admit that she is wrong. And she will show you love and compassion all the days of your life." Adam thought for a moment and said, "Well, God, what is this going to cost me?" And God responded, "An arm and a leg." And Adam thought for a moment and said, "Well, what could I get for a rib?" And the rest is history. Today on this feast day of the Immaculate Conception, we know that Mary is the new Eve. Jesus is the new Adam. It's one of the most ancient teachings of the church. It goes way back to the writings of St. Paul. St. Paul tells us that Christ is the new Adam. Just as the first Adam, as the head of the human race, led the world into sin because of his pride, disobedience, the sin, it brought death into the world. So God sent the new Adam, Jesus, his son, to redeem the world through humility, through obedience, which gives us eternal life. Now, with the first Adam, there was a first Eve. And with the new Adam, there must be a new Eve. So, Blessed Mother, Our Lady is the new Eve. And remember that the second Adam, of course, is greater than the first Adam. Christ is far holier, far superior to the first Adam. Therefore, the new Eve must be far holier, far more superior than the first Eve. And you remember from reading the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve were created originally, they were without sin. Therefore, the new Eve, Mary, must also be created without sin if she is to be greater than the first Eve. So Mary is greater than the first Eve. And so we know that she must have been without sin. We call this the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother. Today is the patronal feast day of the Americas. That's why it is a holy day of obligation. Because back in 1846, the bishops of the United States declared Mary to be the patron saint of our country. Isn't that a wonderful thing that Our Lady under this title is our patron saint of the Americas? This was in 1846. Well, I would say the 19th century was the great century of the Immaculate Conception, because Our Lady appeared at Rue des Bacs in Paris in 1830 and gave us the miraculous medal called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. And around the border of the medal, it says, "O Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." That's a beautiful prayer. It's something that we should wear every day around our neck, the miraculous medal. Countless miracles and blessings and graces of healing, conversion, returning to the sacraments have taken place through the miraculous medal. And so make sure you wear that medal and pray that prayer many times a day. O Mary, conceive without sin. Pray for us who have recourse to thee. So that was in 1830. The giving of the miraculous medal, the medal of the Immaculate Conception, was given to the world by the Blessed Mother. Well, then 1846, the bishops of our country dedicated North America, South America, and Central America to our Blessed Mother, the Immaculate Conception. That's why there is the shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. That is one of the most beautiful basilicas in the world. And it's only about 45 minutes without traffic, hour and a half with traffic. So we can get down there and visit that beautiful shrine of Our Lady. So try to get down there again. If you haven't been there in a while, go visit the shrine. There are dozens, even hundreds of chapels throughout the shrine dedicated to different titles of Our Lady. So again, 1846, our country dedicated to our Blessed Mother. Well, then in 1854, the Church officially defined the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother as an official dogma of the Church. But again, it was something believed since the earliest days of Christianity. Even way back in the 700s, there were liturgies and masses of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Mother. This was not an invention. This is not something that the Church created. This theology was present from the earliest days of the Church in seed form, but has continued to grow and develop until we more fully understand it now. So again, way back in the Eastern Rite, the Byzantine liturgies, way back in the 700s, there were liturgies of Mary's Immaculate Conception. That was 1854. And then 4 years later, our Blessed Mother confirmed all this as well by appearing at Lourdes in southern France to Bernadette in those 18 apparitions. And in the first apparition, Bernadette said, "Well, what is your name? Who are you?" Mary said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." That was Our Lady's title, Our Lady's name. "I am the Immaculate Conception." So again, that 19th century saw a great development in this understanding of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. That she, at the very first moment of her existence, at the moment of her conception, was preserved from being tainted by original sin. That's what this doctrine means, that God preserved Mary from being tainted by original sin due to the foreseen merits of Jesus Christ by his passion on the cross, his death, his resurrection. Those foreseen merits of Christ were applied to our Blessed Mother by anticipation. She was given that special grace not to be contaminated by original sin. When she was in her mother's womb, her mother's name was Saint Anne. When Our Lady was conceived by Anne and Joachim, normally, in the normal course of relations and normal course of conception, and a child inherits original sin passed down from Adam and Eve. But God intervened at that moment of Mary's conception and inoculated her, vaccinated her, so she would not be contaminated by original sin. It's almost like a preservation, like the baptismal grace was given to Our Lady at the moment of her first moment of existence, due to the merits of Jesus Christ applied to her. So Our Lady was vaccinated by original sin and preserved from being contaminated by original sin. Why did God give her that special grace? Because she was to be the Theotokos, the Greek word for the Mother of God. She was to be the Mother of God. She was that chosen vessel to which God would send his Son into the world. And so God would send his divine Son. He did not want to send her into the world in a sinful vessel or a dirty vessel. And so he preserved this vessel pure and holy so that the Son of God would live in her womb for 9 months and then be born of her. We know that Mary is full of grace. We heard that today when the angel spoke to her in the gospel. "Hail, full of grace." The Greek word in the New Testament is kacheritomene, one who has been perfected in grace. It's the perfect passive tense of that verb. It means a completed act done to perfection. Hail, Mary, you who have been perfected in grace. And it makes sense. It's good common sense as well. If John the Baptist was sanctified and cleansed of original sin when he was 6 months in his mother's womb, wouldn't it make sense that Our Lady, who was far holier, far superior than John the Baptist, would have been preserved from original sin, from the first moment of her existence. That's why this feast day, I think, is so important for us in America today, because we live in an age that often denies the reality of the unborn child from the moment of conception. And yet this feast day reminds us that life begins at conception. That's why we're here. 9 months from today, we'll celebrate the Nativity of our Blessed Mother on September 8th. On March 25th, we celebrate the incarnation of the Son of God. 9 months later, we celebrate Christmas on December 25th. Life begins at conception. So this is the greatest pro-life feast day that we celebrate throughout the Church, Mary's Immaculate Conception, because the Church officially defines that Mary's life began at conception. If Mary's life began at conception because she was preserved from original sin, then logically we can say that every life must begin at conception. Every life is so precious. Every life is so sacred and so holy from the moment of its existence that it must be protected and defended and prayed for from the very first start. So we as Christians, as Catholics, we are thoroughly pro-life from the moment of conception until natural death. So we need to pray for our country, pray over these next number of years that we will have a conversion of our country, that we will acknowledge the reality of the sacredness of human life beginning at the moment of conception.